Things in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here with you this evening, and trust as we look into God's Word, we can look at some primary realities, some things that will affect our lives throughout the coming week, throughout the coming days, and will go with us to help us portray that primary reality to the folks that we come in contact with each day. I invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. This is where the title for the message that was assigned to me was taken from, Let Love Be Without Dissimulation. It comes from verse 9 of chapter 12. And the word dissimulation is not a word that we use regularly. At least I don't use that word very often. So I think we'll start with some definitions, some trying to describe a little what we're talking about. And maybe first, even before we talk about dissimulation, we'll think a little bit about love. Today, the world has corrupted the meaning of love. When you speak of love, a lot of times people have a very twisted view of what is meant by love, a cheapened view of love. A dictionary definition of love I found is an intense feeling of deep affection. But did you notice the one word in there to describe that is a feeling? Is true love a feeling? What happens when feelings go away? Does that mean that love is gone? Tonight we want to talk about a love that goes beyond feeling. The word love, as translated in the New Testament, and this verse comes from the Greek word agape, which is a selfless love, a love that seeks the good of the other ahead of its own interest. Selfless love, seeking the good of the other person, even to the point of giving of their own self. And I think that's best portrayed, think of like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave of himself, his own Son, a selfless giving of his own self, his Son, part of the Trinity, to save mankind who had turned their backs on God. That is the description of the love we're talking about tonight. Now, dissimulation, a dictionary definition for dissimulation is a concealment of one's thoughts, feelings, or character, pretense. So Paul is exhorting the Romans in this verse, in this short phrase, a sentence we want to look at tonight, to have a pure and a true love that is without pretense, without hypocrisy. It's not something that's put on, something that's faked, but instead it's a reality. It's something that goes down, becomes a part of your life. Primarily this evening I want to focus on love and the brotherhood. I think that's what this Paul was talking about here in the context. We want to look a little bit at the context. We're going to read this chapter in Romans 12. But this thought of love without dissimulation can be applied to home life. It can be applied to relationships beyond the brotherhood. But primarily, as we tonight and we're talking, I'm going to focus on the brotherhood and working together. And I trust that you as a brotherhood here know how to have love without dissimulation. But let's look at what Paul has to say about this. And at this time, I think we're going to read the chapter starting verse 1 and read to the end of the chapter, just to give us the context here of what Paul is exhorting the Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that is given, giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul in this chapter is laying out some practical applications for the church at Rome, and I think that can apply to us today in the 21st century. First, I want to pull out a few things that I am going to say are prerequisites for love, things that need to come before love, something that needs to be in place if we're going to have love is without dissimulation. And in verse 1 and 2, beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And be not conformed, but be ye transformed. These very familiar verses, but they speak of a life that is changed by God. And I think that's the first and primary point that we need. If we're going to have love, true love in the brotherhood, each person needs to have an experience, a changed life, a transformed life that's changed by God. In our own strength, we will fall down. We will not be able to have love without dissimulation. It's going to become a fake or a put-on love. If we don't have a true relationship with our Heavenly Father, if we're not transformed, we'll find ourselves caught in this trap of trying to have a fake love for our brotherhood, for our fellow man. So most, first and utmost importance is our relationship with the Heavenly Father. And then moving on, the second point, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Love without dissimulation needs to have a proper view of self. We need to have a view of self that is healthy, not an exalted view, not a haughty view, feeling like we have everything figured out. But instead, it says to think soberly or seriously. I think with this, it's not some demeaning view of self where we push ourselves down, which in turns into a sense of can come from pride as well, but rather a healthy, balanced view of self in relating to the brotherhood, seeing ourselves for who we are in God's sight, but then yet willing to fill our place, be used in the brotherhood, be used to bless the brotherhood and work together. I want to look a little bit at verses 4 through 8, and it talks here about the brotherhood about the church as a body. And you know there's other passages in the New Testament where Paul likens the church to a body. He talks about the if one member's taken away, how it suffers, and we see some of that coming out here, talking about the body. Members, not all members have the same office. Brotherhood, the body of Christ, works like a human body. Christ is the head, and then each one of the members needing each other, needing each part to function correctly. Do we see our brothers and sisters as an integral part of the brotherhood? Someone that would be missed, just like if you cut off your finger, cut off your thumb, you would miss that. Do we see that, the importance of each person? Verse 5 says that we are members one of another. Necessity for each one. Each brother is important. Each one is needed to function as a complete body. Also, I see that we need to recognize that gifts differ. And it talks there in verses 6 through 8. It talks about some of the different gifts that are in the brotherhood, in the church. And do we see the value of that? How that one brother has a strength here. This sister has a strength to fill this position, this spot. A love without dissimulation, without pretense or fake. We recognize and understand that each one has varied gifts. Each one has a place to fill. If everyone was exactly like I am, things would get pretty lopsided quickly. We need each other and see the value of that. And sometimes that's going to mean there's going to be differing views. There's going to be differing opinions on something. And that's not all wrong. That brings balance and healthy tension to a brotherhood, to balance out, to work together. But all through that, you need this love without dissimulation for it to work properly. And we'll look at that some more. So why is love without dissimulation necessary? Why is it necessary to have this love? Why did Paul exhort them? I invite you to turn back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 36. To verse 40, and Jesus teaching here to this lawyer that came to him asking, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And could we say, instead of love thy neighbor, love thy brother, love your fellow church brother, I think that would not be taking that too far out of context to do that. We need to have these two commandments first in our life. And notice that Jesus said all the law and prophets hang on these two. The one without the other does not work. They are integral to each other. You can't take one and leave the other. You can't say, I have love for God and not for my brother. We'll look at another verse that backs that up. But if you remove the one, the other will fall. Emphasizing that love for God and a relationship with him is necessary. That is important, and our love for our brother will follow with that and comes together. You can now turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And we could take the time to read this passage. I don't think we will. You're familiar with these verses. I just want to pull out a few verses here. Second point on why is love without dissimulation necessary. First one, the love for God and our fellow man is intertwined, interconnected. The second point, God's love needs to be shared. If we have the love of God in our heart, if we have this love this agape love in our heart. It needs to be shared with others. 1 John 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God had a love for us that he showed to us. We ought to love one another. And then verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So if we have a love for God, say we have a love for God, we will have a love for our brother. If we say we have a love for God and that love for our brother is faltering, John says that questions our honesty, our integrity. The third point, why is love without dissimulation necessary? Our love for our brother should be like Christ's love was for us. I'm going to read a few verses from John chapter 15. John 15, verses 12 and 13. Jesus speaking to us, to his disciples, and I believe to us today, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ is calling us to love one another like he loved us. And what did he do? He laid down his life for his friends. That speaks of a true, pure love, a love that will not have pretense, will not be something fake or fickle. What a high calling. Christ gave his life for us. Are you and I giving that type of love back for our brothers and sisters? It was a challenge to me to think, is my love for my brother measure up in any way close to what Christ's love was for us? Something to strive for. And the last reason that I see love without dissimulation necessary, our love for our brother is a beacon to the world that we are truly following Christ. For this, I get to turn to John 13, verse 35. What is the way that someone knows whether the Blue Ridge congregation is following Jesus, is truly his disciples? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. How do you know whether someone, whether a congregation, whether a brotherhood is following Jesus, whether they're truly his disciples? Jesus said here, they will have love one for another. The community in this area knows you. You work, interact with people. Do they see the Blue Ridge congregation as a congregation that has love one for another? I trust they do. But a challenge to us, we need to have this love. It's something that is necessary. It needs to be a part of our brotherhood. Well, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13 for some practical thoughts on what this love without dissimulation looks like. I'm not going to take time to read this passage. You know what is here in 1 Corinthians 13. I think we all have read this chapter many times. You know, I'll pull some thoughts from it. Love without dissimulation. First thought, first point I have on love without dissimulation, doing good without love will end in ruin. These first few verses talks about speaking with tongues of men and angels and having not charity, having not this pure love. It's a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have faith, keeps going, mentions all these good things that we can and should be doing, but if we don't have love, it is worthless. It's nothing. Doing good things without love will end in loss. We need to have a true and genuine love for each other. I can stand up here and explain 1 Corinthians 13 or other passages, but if I don't have a true love for my brotherhood, is it doing anything? Is it really profiting anything? says you can give large sums of money. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The benefit to the giver, to the one who is sacrificing, if he's not doing it out of love, is lost. God can use a selfish giving or a wrong giving to expand his kingdom, but the giver himself will lose the blessing if he's not doing it out of love. Let's be motivated. All we do, we be motivated by love. The good things we are doing is motivated by a selfish desire or to be seen of men. I believe it's a love with dissimulation, a love that is fake, fickle, has pretense. It needs to be a pure love. Second practical or thing I'm pulling out of 1 Corinthians 13 comes from verse 4. Love is long-suffering and kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Pure and unfeigned love, love without dissimulation, is willing to put up with a lot. Willing to put up with mistreatment. How easy is it for us to get a little perturbed at someone for what they did that seems odd, seems wrong, seems like it was a mistake or a failure on their part? Do we become perturbed? Maybe an example, something we could pull for this, is thinking a little bit in home life, and you think of young children and how quickly a disagreement, argument can turn into a scrap, and us as parents need to intervene to settle the argument. The child can become offended quickly. And we as parents are called to teach and train children to accept life. It's going to bring bumps. It's going to bring some mistreatments, some things that don't go the way we want them to go. And us as parents are called to teach children that, to relate lovingly and kind. I think this goes to helps us understand that a natural love, a natural affection for another, is when it's tested, will at times fall down. But a true agape love, a love that is selfless, seeking the good of the other, will move beyond that and see beyond that. Let's be long-suffering and kind. Suffering long. Remember, God calls us to love, even when it feels like the other person is not showing that true love in return. There's times that love is tested, and are we willing to love even when that love is not reciprocated? Verses 4 and 5, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It seeketh not her own. Coming out of verse 5. Love by definition, agape love by definition, is unselfish. Its interest is interested and it promotes the good of the other person. How easy is it for envy or covetousness to find its way into our hearts when we relate in a brotherhood? Someone else can teach Sunday school so much better than I can, or lead singing, or teach school. And so quickly we can begin to envy. We can look around and say, well, this brother has more gifts, or this sister has a gift in this area that I don't have. Charity envieth not. Let's recognize the value, the blessing of others that have gifts that go beyond what we can do. Be thankful for their input and blessing in our life, instead of letting it to drive a wedge in our relationship and fracture that love that we need to have for our brothers. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It gives the idea of something with an exalted view of self, but rather we see this unselfish, seeking the good of the other. We all know the importance of humility in relationships. If I think I'm better, if I think I have attained and everyone else is somehow inferior, somehow not measuring up, it's not going to go well. People will see that, they'll feel that, and it becomes a love that is fake and put on pretense. Love is not easily provoked, it thinketh no evil. How easy is it to become provoked, perturbed at our brother? This point is close to the one about long-suffering and kind, but maybe there's times the offenses, the things that happen to us that we face are intentional or sure feel like they're intentional. Is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. Can we respond in love, true love that wants the best for that person? It's not always easy to know how to relate redemptively when things go wrong, when there's a disagreement, a misunderstanding, yes, and maybe even at times where it seems obvious the other person is intentionally picking a fight, aggravating. Can we respond in love that is true and genuine, thinking no evil? Can we, even if we know or believe our brother has a less than a Christ-like response, instead of trying to push him away or exact revenge, look for and maybe commend him in the areas he is doing things right? Look for the areas where we can bless him and be a benefit and a blessing and share that love. God can work when we as his people relate in redemptive ways when things are not what they should be. Verse 6, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. True agape love, true love without dissimulation, will rejoice when truth is held forth. Whether that truth is what others want to hear or whether it's hard, whether there's times things need to be said that are hard, true love will hold forth truth, stand on truth. One of the definitions of without dissimulation is to be without pretense. True, genuine. It will highlight and emphasize truth. I had to think of Ephesians 4:15. It says, but speaking the truth in love. Truth mixed with love that will bring about a blessing in relationships. Verse 7, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. True unfeigned love will inspire, will bring hope and clarity to a brotherhood. A true love is committed to working together as a brotherhood, will look for ways to support each other, to bear the burdens, to work together, even when there is different opinions. Can we look like this chapter holds forth, have a charity that is far superior to the feeling-oriented love the world around us is showing, is talking about, holding up as something great? This charity is something that goes far beyond that. Another thought on love without dissimulation, not necessarily pulling it directly from 1 Corinthians 13, but a love without dissimulation will not be two-faced. In relationships, there's a temptation to say one thing to a person, but then when you're talking to someone else, when you're talking to another person, maybe you are tempted to share another thought or another perspective behind their back. Love without dissimulation refuses to be hypocritical. You will not put on a form of love for a brother and sister in their presence, but then turn on them when they're not there. True unfeigned love, true love without dissimulation, will not resort to gossip, resort to talebearing, talking about another person. Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We all know the destruction that gossip and turning on a person behind their back, what damage that can do in relationships. Let's have love without dissimulation, love that is not two-sided or two-faced, but true, genuine love. You now turn back with me to Romans 12. I'm going to look again a little bit at the chapter that we started in. We'll look at some of these verses following after the text verse, the verses following. This is a list of practical teaching, practical advice that Paul gave to the Romans that I believe applies to us today. And I think we can pull out some thoughts out of a few of these verses that apply to the love relating together as a brotherhood that can be a blessing for us. In verse 10, unfeigned love, brotherly love is unfeigned love. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, not in honor, preferring one another. Brotherly love, unfeigned love, will put others ahead of themselves. Again, this does away with the competition. It does away with that desire to somehow be better or on top. But in honor, preferring one another, in honor, accepting our brother for who he is and preferring him. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Are we putting our all into the work around us? The work of the church, what you're called to and your responsibilities here, are you putting it all into it? Not slothful, not, but instead fervent in spirit. And doing it as unto the Lord. Serving the Lord. Whether that's faithfully fulfilling your responsibility to provide for your family, or faithfully filling the calling to lead out in Sunday school or the work of the janitor, whatever you're called to. It enables us, if we are putting our all into that, to be able to be a blessing back to the brotherhood. Verse 13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. As we're faithful in serving the Lord, we'll be sharing that hospitality back with our brothers, with those in need around us. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. How can we be of one mind, be of the same mind, when faced with the decision, how do you get a group of brothers and sisters the size of this congregation to be of the same mind? I'm sure it can be a challenge. You know, our congregation, it can be a challenge. And we recently had a brothers meeting to discuss our growing congregation, the need for a larger building, need for a school. And we sat in a circle and talked about it as brothers. And you thought about it as we were going around that circle, each sharing our thoughts. Maybe you could have said we were not of the same mind. There was differing thoughts, differing views. But the blessing that I found in it is after the evening was over, I think we were all a little closer to being of the same mind. Because as we shared together, we heard our brother, we heard where he was at and his thoughts. We need to come to a common ground, a common understanding, lay down our own opinions, take the valuable, the input of our brother and apply it. I think that's part of being of one mind, being willing to be open with each other and share our thoughts, and then be willing to submit to the voice of the brotherhood. Be of one mind, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, condescend to men of low estate. Be willing to identify with each one, not just a select few, not just with a few of my closest friends, but with all the brothers. Be willing to identify with all. Verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Honest in all we do. If we're going to have love without dissimulation, it's going to call for honesty. Honesty in business life, home life, church life, it's all going to need to make sense together. It's all going to need to be supporting and working together. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Is that a description of us? That we're living peaceably with all men, we're striving to live at peace. Remember that Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Is that peace evident in our brotherhood and in our relationships with those around us, in our relationships with our neighbors and business acquaintances? I trust it is. Then, verse 19 to 21, I'll just read in conclusion. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We have love for without dissimulation for our brothers. It's going to flow out into our lives, how we relate when we're mistreated, how we relate when we face opposition, and we'll be able to overcome evil with good. Return good for the evil. Return, heap coals of fire on their head. Give them back a blessing in return for the mistreatment that we face. Love without dissimulation needs to flow into all areas of life. As I said, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about home relations or relating to those around us, but I think if it's in place in our brotherhood, if it's first of all portrayed and evidenced here, it will go out and be a witness to those around us. Well, I trust as you here at Blue Ridge serve the Lord, as you relate as brothers and sisters, that you have a love that is true, a love without dissimulation, a love that will stand the test of the challenges that come in relating in a brotherhood, and is strong. It's not just a feeling-oriented love, but rather a commitment to seek the good of the other person. Let's kneel together for prayer.